Good morning, world. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. We're going to share with you I forgot to say. Good morning, Peter.
No, but you forgot all about me. But that's not surprising since we just had such a wonderful trip to Italy. As a result, we're a little discombobulated getting home, getting back into the stride of things.
Oh, yeah. It was such a fabulous trip. We went to Emilia Romagna, where we've been before, but it's always good to go and check up again on people and places we loved. And we did that.
And at the beginning of this program, and we can't keep it from you any longer, we had the most sensational visit, the most sensational meal with one of the most thoughtful chefs that we have ever had the privilege of meeting. And we're going to inflict about 30 minutes of our conversation with Massimo Bottura at Osteria Francescana in Modena, because if you're a foodie,
It's not an infliction, believe me.
Then you're going to want to, every word is a jewel, and this is a fabulous place, and you should stop what you're doing and go right now.
On the Menu is now having a really rare opportunity of being able to experience what this genius chef that we adore is doing now, and being able to look back 10 years or so to see how it all started out, and now we're experiencing the resolution. We're at the Osteria Francescana in Modena, and we're talking to Chef Massimo Bottura, who is just one of the nicest guys in the world, and also a genius chef, as I said. Hello, Massimo.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, now, I mean, that's the nicety out of the way. We're now going to talk about what your cooking is all about. You've made a big splash internationally because of your experimental cooking. And when we first came here, you were very involved with experimental techniques. From what we ate for dinner tonight, which was extraordinary, I would cross half a continent again just to have the repeat of the meal. You have two qualities that almost nobody has doing the kind of work you do, and that is at the forefront of all of your work. You first off is taste, and second texture, or it might be equal.
Yes, this is one of first of all, I just want to thank you to come back here after 10 years. And you know that I was kind of frustrated 10 years ago about my cuisine and how the journalists and crew and gourmet they really weren't so interested in what I was doing. And now, just 10 years after, you see how everything changed. My cuisine was a set, and now is talking that, and is saying that is part of the major part of the new Italian cuisine or new tradition, however you want to call it. I start since a long time ago experimenting and working on traditional element and traditional products, just because you know, I always believed in a really short range of kilometers to and have a really close relationship with the people they were making my ingredients and working with my ingredients on as Parmigiano Reggiano, as all the animals and the vegetables. So I took as the idea of take and work with the shapes and no shapes and deconstruct and change the texture and understand what the Parmigiano would be working with Parmigiano crust or suckling pig. They were fed till they became like 38, 39 pounds instead of 24, 20, but just fed with milk. So just an important step into the products. That's the major part. As I usually say, What has to be, and relating what you asked before, your sensation of your feeling of texture, is just because I have always an image in my mind. This image is the pyramid of Kandinsky. So, in the spirit of the art, in the book, Kandinsky was say that. This is like the society. I say this is like my mind and my creativity. The point, the maximum, the higher point of this pyramid is my thought, is my level of thinking. And under that, there are ingredients and technique. But the technique for the ingredients, not the technique just to be like a magician. And just to use the right technique for the right ingredients. Under that, all my experience, my feelings, my what I grow up with. So this this incredible feeling that I want to transmit as the work with the embryonal eggs that I mentioned you before when we were at the table. So this is the major part. I think being really focused on this and being really focused on what I'm like the products and the ingredients at the end you're gonna know when stop and when you have to stop to use the technique and be in the soul of the ingredients.
I want to make sure that we're spelling, that everybody understands that Massimo's name is Bottura. My sloppy pronunciation said Bottura, and it's Bottura. Massimo, I think it might be, if somebody is not eaten here, difficult to imagine how not only imaginative and beautifully presented, but flavorful your food is. Is there some way you could take one dish and explain what you do? Especially you do deconstruction, I know. We had so many dishes tonight, I'm sure you could find one that really represents the kind of food you produce.
Actually, I would love to present the five different aged Parmigiano in five different texture and temperature. But for an American idea and to honor you and my wife, because she's American too, I would love to explain how I took the Caesar salad and I put it in a different level. Dunque, I always hated the Caesar salad as this bland salad that was like mixed with all this heavy preparation. So I just took the aromatic part. So anchovies, yolk, parmigiano, and mustard. So I took these elements and I rebuilt a salad with this element. So I start researching all the mustard leaves, starting from the French one, the Chinese one, the white one, the Italian one, and all these fresh herbs that are delivered like every 2 days in my restaurant. I mix these leaves of mustard with other aromatic salads, aromatic leaves that they gives to give a balance of this salad. So after that, I make the parmigiano. I create some gallette of parmigiano, so they're really crunchy. And this parmigiano reggiano crumbs I put in the middle of the salad to give the texture and the sound in the palate. Instead of using oil, I use the anchovies water that comes from Sicily. So just because I didn't want to use oil, because I believe in chewy the fresh salad, chewy the fresh aromatic herbs, gives you an incredible feeling in the palate. And I finish everything with shaving on the top of this salad embryon eggs that I kept under salt and sugar and let them sit in the air as a bottarga to concentrate all the flavor of the yolk that is inside the embryons. And then in front of the customer, I shave it as parmigiano. So like this, I finish everything with a touch of Villa Manodori balsamic vinegar and the pancetta, crunchy pancetta, to say this is Emilia Romagna, to remind that we are in Modena. So this is like the idea of taking a plate and take it and bring it to another level.
I'd like for you to do one more. I actually have two more I want you to do. The next one is the bollito that's not boiled.
Yeah, bollito misto non bollito. So it's like really traditional in north of Italy. This is very complicated because everything starts from the shape of this. I'm starting from the shape. I was sitting in Central Park, in the park just in front of 59th Street. And I was looking all these buildings like a skyscraper landscape with all the trees on the bottom. So it's like a landscape with the trees on the bottom. So you have this idea of a landscape of the trees. So what I did is, so remind this landscape, okay, that most of the people they knows. Okay, remind this. My question was, why do I have to boil such a great ingredients that I have and just let him boil and lose all the vitamins and the flavor into boiling water? Starting from this question, because I had all these producers and farmers, they were sending me Chianina belly for like to try if you like saying, okay, I have a Chianina, incredible Chianina raised like this, so just I'm sending you the belly, try to do whatever you want, which is beef, or like a Fassona also beef, no, but it's from Piemonte and is raised over 2,000 meters free range, like eating wild herbs and stuff like that. So imagine the meat, how it is like. So I will start thinking about this with all these pieces like cheek, tongue, tails, belly. And I start thinking that using the technique and pass through the really avant-garde technique could help me to give the right feeling and the right feeling and texture to this incredible quality meat. So what I did is like divide all the different meats in vacuum-packed sous vide and cook at low temperature for different timing. At the end, it's like a cubist dish. Like solca is a cubism instead of relating to the figure is relating to the timing. So I create this dish thinking about the timing and the texture, and at the end the shape I had to give to this dish is becoming, thinking about the shape, I cut all the different pieces in cubes. Cubes are figure, like rectangles, and that one close to the other, they gave you the idea of skyscraper. On the bottom, because bollito misto, not boil, is served with salsa verde. It's like chopped parsley, a sauce of yellow and red pepper. So I create two lines of red pepper and yellow pepper in front of the meat and an air of parsley to be really clear with the flavors. Like this, I had this feeling on the, or the in my mind the image of the skyscraper in New York, sitting in the park, just in the back of 59th Street.
Oh, Peter wants to say something here.
I don't feel like I'm sitting in the back of 59th Street, but I have to tell you that Massimo talked about the texture of the dish. But the other wonderful thing about it is that it has mouthfeel, which is one thing the Bolito Misto generally does not have. And then to go one step further, this is a restaurant with a great wine program. But guess what we drank with this dish? We drank Belgian-style beer made in Italy. So the wonderful thing about being here at La Serena Francescana is that they don't stop thinking. They start every day thinking, and who knows what they'll think of next, but we're just going to take a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Don't forget to email us at any time on the menu at onthemenuradio.com. And now let's jump right back into our wonderful conversation with Massimo Bottura. We're talking to Massimo Bottura, and he's describing some of his extraordinary dishes. I'd like, Massimo, for you to do one that, almost everybody will probably understand or relate to, which is your pasta fagioli.
Pasta fagioli is another classic dish that we have in Italy, so pasta and beans. So I grew up with this kind of dish. So to me, it's really, really important, as you said and you mentioned before about flavors. I can work and play with this kind of dishes, but the flavor at the end has to remind you to your past, to your memories. This is very important. And because like this, I can transfer my memory, my experience to other people and give emotion. This is, so this dish is becoming a compression in a small glass to have, few bites, just to remind how is pasta fagioli, how could be a pasta fagioli. So to me, it's like I start these dishes is divided in seven different techniques. I start like creating a creme royale at the bottom of this glass with using beans, just a little of fat as pancetta and some foie gras. I simmer everything and I cook at low temperature. Over this, I put some radicchio because I need some bitter things to clean the palate. So I create this, and the radicchio is really traditional in pasta fagioli in the north of Italy, like Veneto. So I braise the radicchio, just the interior part, not the whole leaves, just the interior. And so I got this bitterness. On the top of radicchio, there are little cubes of pancetta that are really crunchy. On the top of that, instead of using pasta, because pasta e fagioli, and make the mal tagliati, cioè bad cut, I took the Parmigiano Reggiano crust that are boiling with beans to give flavor to the beans, and I let him cook, let him boil with fagioli, let him sit for a while to lower the temperature. I slice with the slicing machine, and as a pasta, as handmade pasta, so really thin. And I gave the shape of mal tagliati. So you're going to eat mal tagliati, or you're going to eat, crust of Parmigiano boiling instead of pasta. On the top, I create a cream of fagioli to remind of pasta e fagioli. And at the end, just a light air of rosemary, because in pasta e fagioli, the rosemary is really intense. And I don't like it so intense. So I create an air that is disappearing in your mouth. So you're going to eat deeply. You dip the spoon into the bottom of this glass, and you come back with the old feeling of pasta e fagioli.
Listeners, I hope you're getting the impression that this is sort of a rather unique place. Now, 8 years ago when we were here, we were interested because Massimo said he was excited about the fact that later that year he was going to go spend 3 months at El Bulli in Spain. We haven't talked to him a lot about what that experience is like, but I have a more open question, and you can perhaps relate to whether Ferran Adria, whether you learned anything special. How do you keep on coming up with these new ideas?
Coming up with new ideas is not simple to answer. The impression of I always say that Ferran took me to another level. You know, I had experience with tradition and French cuisine before. I read a lot, so I already had an idea of what was going on and using these siphons and this. I grew up in a family that the cuisine is very important, and you know, imagine at the Sunday lunch serving 17 people every Sunday. So I know it was like a restaurant. And my mom she's a great cook, so I took a lot from them. But Ferran and my wife, I think they are the most important people for me because they conceptualized my cuisine. So Ferran, he teach me how to work with that. He went deep into some techniques. Is like start working with different and think about creating plate with acidity and sugar and so stimulate the palate. And my wife I think is really really important because she goes deeply into the dish and ask me in question, why did you do this? Why did you use this technique? Why? Always why. And I have to answer. And this makes me think. And if you think, you can create a really important thing.
Now, you have another more casual venture, and you also have a line of products. Would you like to tell us what those are?
Yeah, this is a business, a kind of a business, because you know, for me, business is always... as something that I took from my family, and so this balsamic vinegar, because you know I'm from Modena, and during 1996, an American journalist called Faith Willinger and Mario Batali, they were eating here, and they were thinking, and we were talking and discussing the problem of finding a good balsamic vinegar for chefs. So I said, maybe I can do something for this. And I create a line of product after like 15 years. Now it's a line of product. At the time, it was just a balsamic vinegar, like artigianale. I named Villa Manodori. That is an old villa that the family own on a outside of the in the country that my sister husband family owns, and like that I create this line for chef, thinking about chefs, and the product are really perfect to be matched with beef juice, fish, or everything, because they have the right texture. You know, the problem for me is like traveling all over the world and find balsamic vinegar reduction to me, it blows my mind. You know, for a product like mine that is the age for years and years, think about reduction in a pan is like a disaster. So I decide in that that I remember beautiful dinner, beautiful night, I decide to create this line of product that I name Villa Manodori, and now there is Essenziale Oils. They're all products that are experienced, and they came and they arrive from the experience of my cuisine.
How does one get this?
In the United States, they're like distributed by the Medici. It's a beautiful company that they're really into the high quality products all over Europe, France, Spain, Italy, like that. And they're really nice guys. And for the people, I think William and Sonoma, they carry that, Dean and De Luca, Whole Food, you know, they're like becoming kind of big. It's became.
And what about this more casual wine bar?
3 years ago, me and my sommelier, Giuseppe Beppe, we decided to create a wine bar because to introduce the product and the taste and to educate the palate of young crowds in Modena and all over. So we try to be cheap and to involve a young crowd to start to educate palate to eat the right prosciutto, the right culatello, the right meat. And so, and keep everything really compressed. Because, you know, at Ozzeria Francescana, we have 12 people in the kitchen for 30 people serving. So the prices, you know, they're like, they have to be, they're not affordable for everyone. So we try to do that.
Well, you are so extraordinary. I just have to ask you, because you're always thinking, always creating, what do you envision is next?
Next, I don't know. I don't know. I have a dream, you know, for someone like me that is not born into a restaurant, it's just passion, you know, that became and grow and grow. To me, like maybe the third star Michelin is a dream. Now I have two, and who knows what's gonna be next. Could be also that I start thinking and taking consideration of open something around the world. You know, maybe New York, maybe Singapore. Now I just received a brochure with a beautiful tower in Singapore and offer me the last two floors to open a restaurant as Osteria Francescana. Who knows?
Listeners, it all might sound a little bit complicated. In fact, Massimo is showing Anne pictures of a new skyscraper in Singapore. Somehow it's hard to imagine Osteria Francescana somewhere other than on the corner of a little street in Modena that you could drive by if you didn't know it was here. Here's the last point that I wanted to make, and then I'll ask Anne to wrap up. It all might sound a little bit intimidating because the food is very extraordinary, the chef is very extraordinary. What you have to understand is what is on your plate, dish after dish after dish, is the most delicious food you are ever going to taste. So even if you're not interested in the presentation, when it comes in your mouth, it explodes, and you'll be delighted. Now, Wayne, what do you have to say about that?
Well, of course, I thoroughly agree. I want to say that this man has so many dimensions. He also has an art collection, and it's something I'm very sensitive about, that you could die for. He has such a great eye. And his dishes, of course, are beautiful. But he also has his restaurant is so tasteful. It's an ambience that you would love to be in, and everybody who comes in here is somebody you might even want to talk to because they're all of the same ilk. They love good food. They have good taste. They love a beautiful ambience. Would you like to say one more thing to our listeners, Chef?
No, just that, I just want to say to the young guys, they really want to be a chef, that it's really hard, but it's very important. They believe in dream, and they live their life as a dream. So like that, one day you can become a chef, and you can maybe the dream is gonna be a reality. You know that I say this because, as I mentioned, they were reminding me that I was 10 years ago. I was saying that maybe I was opening a restaurant in New York. I said that because you know, the critic and the journalist, they were really interested in what I was doing, and they considered me like a crazy guy who ruined the products. And now, you know, now they said, as you know, be strong, believe in your dream, and one day maybe they're going to be reality.
We love this guy, and I think you will too. So listeners, come. Again, it's Massimo Butera, and it is the Osteria Francescana in Modena, which is in the province of Emilia-Romagna, Italia. Grazie, Chef.
Thank you to everyone.
And now it's time to take another break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Here we are again, and we'll be moving back to Bologna and to a place that if you go there, you will find that most people will cross your path one way or another in the time you're there. It's a place of such personality and history, and let's listen to Dottore Tamburini tell us about this establishment. When On the Menu walked into this wonderful shop called Tamburini in Bologna, there was a deja vu, but it was not imagined. We actually visited this wonderful shop 8 years ago, and we have now the owner of the shop, Signor Tamburini, to talk to us about this as an institution and what he sells. Signor, everyone says this is the most marvelous gourmet food shop in Bologna. How long have you been in business?
How long? Myself, from 1973 after university. And this firm, my family, is from 1932, father and uncle, Tamburini brothers. But this is an only place, because only to the park, because there was another firm from the middle of the 17th century, 1650. And we have documents on 1857, the family Benny, because our food was just rich and full of pork meat. And this is the center of the ancient town of Bologna. And everything happens in the same place now. Through friends who are very historical professors, teachers. We have studied, as they told me, and I have books in which it's possible to have this work until before Roman age. Before they are Celts, because from 17 to the 2nd century before Christ, we had Celts, like French people, Gaulois, the Gully Boy, who came from Bohemia, but the language was French. Our dialect is French. It's very funny. Our dialect is funny. We have 2,000 different phrases that we can use in many, many different ways.
Could you give us an example of a common phrase in English, classical Italian, and your dialect?
Yes. It's very easy. A phrase in dialect, Ocho I Spiegel. Otto is get your eyes to the corners. And there is a story. A woman died, but was not died at all. And she knocked through the the wood. And the second time, just dead. Now, going down to the steps, he told to the man, "Oh, to Spiegel, get your to the corners, because she can wake." "I just prefer she will die. She's died." And now, "Oh, to Spiegel, we have a thousand different ways how to use that, and thousand phrases in which it needs to be funny. And that's good for shy people, because they use their historical dictionary and they can say every time something funny. These are character, table, and good talk.
Now, what you sell here is excellent food of a great variety. Could you describe what kinds of food? Is it regional? Is it Bolognese, but tell us what products specifically.
We have the first dishes, but overall the mortadella. Mortadella was the, just want to tell you the story. Mortadella was the queen of salami. Is not cooked, is not raw. Is just tried the way to have 75 degrees, our degrees. Is pasteurization. Pasteurization, we have it after 150 years or less.
Centigrade.
Our valuation, 75. The meat is just not cooked, but is pasteurized. And just the same friends before, as they have studied that mortadella was a Gaulois, a Celt product, not a Roman, not, and before Christ, but is discovery of few years, because it's cooked like a pâté de campagne. French pâté is something manipulate and with spices, and we use only salt and pepper, salt from Cervi, Adriatico, and pepper from Venice, black pepper, only that. No many spices. Bolognese cooking is without spices. Few. And this is a good discovery, because we know that they produced mortadella beyond 25 centuries ago. But it's not my opinion. It's a document can study and try and look at that. But it's new idea, because it is one of the most ancient salami of the world. As today is fantastic too. The same recipe, good meat, salt, black pepper. Stop.
But the Bolognese pride themselves also on the pasta, and you sell lots and lots of pasta.
Our specialty is their tortellini. You know that Italy is a continent, not a nation, and the food is another continent, and the pasta is another continent. That's is terrible. It needs to be born here. And every 10 miles, the name changes. Every 20 miles of the recipes changes. It's a labyrinth for us too. That's Italy. Tortellini are our specialty from many centuries. And we use pasta, 10 eggs for kilo. Pounds of flour, 10 eggs. It's a bomb, caloric bomb. Just only the pasta. And more, you use the filling. Is a one-fourth of prosciutto, one-fourth of pork meat, good pork like shoulder, one-fourth mortadella, and one-fourth parmigiano reggiano. You fill it just together. You put all the eggs for getting the filling soft. And you make tortellini. That is need to see them. Because I think that the frame comes from China or something near. Because the first time I came in the United States, it was so young, we went into a Chinese restaurant. The first thing were tortellini.
Well, they were
with fish filling. But the frame was not European. Too difficult. Too difficult for us. Is origami. You have seen tortellini. It's very, very different. Our way is lasagna. just plain. Lasagna is Roman, but in Greek recipe. But is only tortellini are very refined design.
No, so you sell pasta, cheese, salumi, the rotisserie chickens, which we call Speedo chickens. You also have a cafeteria line. And all kinds of delicatessen items, and people can eat in here. Now, who comes here? It's right in the center of the market, and it must be very, very, like a magnet for just about anybody who's anybody in Bologna.
Techno, we have a gastronomy with two fresh dishes every day. The salumeria italiana with 150. Cheese, 200 cheese of all Italian tradition. And we have no restaurant but self-service, because 15 years ago we told them we are not ready. It's not our job. Do some self-service with, is there is a bench, it's the same thing. And they come every day, 250, 300 people every day at self-service, lunch. And in afternoon, 3 years ago, we have opened a this Osteria Italiana with 200 wines. Ah, not bad. We can have a rainbow. yes. And a few dishes. Overall, the first is salami. Dish of different qualities of salami and cheese. Tuscan, Roman, Alp, Northern, and Southern, because in our continent, you understand, we have 100 qualities of salami, cheese, bread. It's difficult for us too to know everything. It's my job, my hobby. But just because it's my hobby, I know them. The weight is growing.
It is growing.
Always, because every day you use the double or your calories.
Now tell me, how does anyone find this? I mean, it's right in the heart of the market, in the center of Bologna. Have you, first of all, your address, and secondly, do you have a website?
Yes. Our address is the center, I tell the center of the center, I don't know, because it's between Piazza Maggiore and the Twin Towers, because we have Twin Towers. They are again this day. Yes, and we have on the head the market, the ancient market, just the same market of 25 centuries old. And being on the bridge, they know that how us from many parts of the world, because the first store shop they meet is Tamburini. We are very lucky in that. Not fame. Our fame is often is. By position, but something we work, something we do. But position is very important.
Now he will be in all the guidebooks undoubtedly. But do you have a website?
Yes, it was a www.tamburini.com, and then address email address is tambinfo at tin.it, like Italia. IT. And we have many people every day, they write, and they have a mail, is a new age, new idea to meet with the part of the world.
Well, listeners, this is the place to be when you're in Bologna, because this is where it all happens. And do you ever play your rock and roll guitar?
It's my generation. I was born in 1948. Now, being young, we followed the stars of United States and England, and this was very important. I had a group, and for 25 years I stopped to play, but now we have a group, not bad.
And you play here?
I play guitar, and 5 years ago it came a troupe, TV crew group, and Bruce Springsteen have seen in television, he came here. Food and rock and roll. Very, very happy.
Well, Signor Tamburini. I'm getting tongue-tied. Mr. what? Mr. Tambourine.
Real Mr. Tambourine.
Well, anyhow, listeners, you must come here, and he's having a good time, and we are having a good time, and you will too. Thank you so much, Signor.
I have to say something else. You will not get out alive without tasting everything.
We will not be alive.
try.
Grazie.
Yeah, thank you.
You wouldn't think that Dottore Tamburini was pleased to see us, would you? He's really quite a character, and the world sure beats a pathway to his door. This is one of the world's great grocery stores. It's not Fortnum & Mason, it's not Harrod's Food Hall, but in just it's in its own way, it's just as important in explaining and in providing the wonderful food and wine of Emilia-Romagna. And you just absolutely have to go there and take in all the sounds, take in all the smells.
The smells are wonderful.
And
all the salumi.
And of course you must take in the tastes as well. And as Anne quickly pointed out to me, it is, of course, time to take what we call a pause for a cause or a commercial break, call it what you like, and we'll hope you'll still be with us on the other side.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, we are back again, and we're going to lead you into a conversation with another iconic establishment in Bologna. It'll be one of the first places that everybody recommends that you go to, a place with charm at the other end of the scale, though very high end, and it's called Tony. So here we go.
On the menu is a Ristorante di Tony in Ateca, which has been a trattoria since 1834, and we've just had one of the most spectacular meals we've had on this trip. And we're talking to the chef owner, Cesare Chiari. And Cesare, la storia, the history, is long, importante, is important to this restaurant. Can you tell us about it?
I owner of this restaurant since 31 years. So, Bitone, its name, because the form of this build is a particular and divided two street. Okay?
It's a wedge.
So, this restaurant is born for continued cuisine, Bolognese cuisine. So, we made all pasta, particular, tortellini, and how using both. So, we made...
I want to add, though, that we had the most spectacular fish, seafood, raw and partially cooked, that you would, from, there was a fire here, and that started the new disaster.
So, yes. So, now we cook in fish.
And the fish at this restaurant is so fresh. It is like unbelievable quality. Why is it so fresh?
In our kitchen, we made traditional Bolognese. Other, we cook in fish, fresh fish, from Adriatic Beach. Our staff, it's very special person for this preparation.
They have at this restaurant also many traditional preparations. And what are some of the specialties that you offer? Traditional, classical Bolognese.
I think is a classic traditional Bolognese. Classic and traditional Bolognese.
Example.
We prepare all Mediterranean desserts, and in particular, fresh pasta bolognese, tortellini, tortelloni, lasagne, tagliatelle. We prepare this pasta in different sauce, with meat, with fish, with mushrooms, truffle, and vegetables.
You make this pasta fresh in-house. You don't buy this, you make it in-house, the pasta. Pasta.
Our specialty of pasta is casa, sì. Our women in every morning made pasta.
I am taken with, you also do coniglio rabbit, you do rognone, is it? No, I mean for your main course. Besides fish, you have traditional meats, coniglio, game.
Traditional meat in Bologna is coniglio, maialino, is capponi, cotolette bolognesi, cacciatore di pollo.
Chicken cacciatore, yes. And the vino, the wines are wonderful. How much wine do you have? You have a wonderful wine list.
In my cellar, I have 400 kind, dico bene, quality of wine in all Italy and in a particular area of the world. But in Bologna, we have a big wine in Sangiovese is very typical. Poi, Pignoletto, Cabernet Sauvignon, Barbera, ma our wine is a Sangiovese.
You actually had a nice white. I didn't realize you made such good white. Bianco.
Pignoletto.
And your staff is very well trained, so that if someone here...
Albana, Pignoletto, Albana e Sauvignon, the Sauvignon.
Now, we have not had sweets, desserts, I dolci. No. Non mi piacciono. What sort do you serve?
Dessert, okay. In Bologna, typical is a torta di riso, zuppa inglese, crema brûlée, Parsifal, sfogliate.
That one I don't know, but the other ones everybody knows. The crema inglese, the rice pudding.
Raviole bolognesi.
Is it il dolce ravioli?
With inside mostarda. Okay.
Now, another thing is this design. Who made this design?
This design of this restaurant is made a very famous architect.
Come si chiama? What is this?
Sergio Atti. He made in Bologna other 30 restaurants. He made in Bologna 30 restaurants.
Now, I mean, listeners, I must say that if you ever want to see Murano glass, you need to come here. But actually, Cesare is telling us something else about this architect. Ma?
But this restaurant is different of to all.
It's very different, listeners. It's exceptional. I don't understand what the design is.
This is a design in Liberty style with particular wood with glass, particular Venice glass, and a window with a picture.
I feel like I'm in a boat. Is it meant to be a boat? But you say it's not purely a ship because it was a garden, but it comes out to be a ship. Tell us the story.
This a fantastic room before was a garden. And I and my architect have a need, new idea for form, for style of this room. So he took idea and take this idea for all the sea, okay? And he had imagined all the classic ship in Liberty style.
And this is why this hardwood gleams like a gorgeous old ship. I think that the food at your restaurant is so magnificent. It's fresh, it's simple, it's beautiful. The room is gorgeous. But I think that what makes the biggest difference is you yourself are a star. You are generous, you are outgoing, and your customers come here. You said you have customers that have come here for birth, through weddings, through birth of their children. Your customers are special, yes?
After many years, I think sometime, and I'm very lucky because I have a very special customer. So, very, very affectionate, customer. So, and they, when I have a very important date in their family, they pass in my restaurant. So, after many time, many children now, they became very big managers. So, they come for their work, for their marriage, for their very important.
And listeners, I think that you understand that this is the case. Now, Peter wants, he's poking me in the elbow here. I think he wants to say something.
On the menu, listeners, the interesting thing, the most interesting thing about Ristorante Bitone is it's a secret the Bolognese keep to themselves. But now you're in on it. Chef Cesare, he said, I have owned this restaurant for 30 years. That was last year. I celebrated 30 years, and I celebrated 50 years, a half a century as a chef. And I said, Chef Cesari, now you started cooking at age 2. He said, no, I started cooking at age 12. And I'm going to say this because he would be too shy to say it on air, although he did say it off air. He said, by age 20, he said, I was a very good chef. It was time for me to have a restaurant. So I got a partner and I had a restaurant. And then he retired and I still had a restaurant. There was a fire and I still had a restaurant. Great news is that the restaurant is still here today. So in conclusion, Cesare, would you tell us the website so that people from all around the world can sign on and come here?
Okay. I tell my name of site.
My website is www.ristorantebitone.it.
Okay.
Va bene, grazie molto.
Chef must have the chance to have a last word.
L'ultima parola. So,
in italiano?
So, in italiano?
Ok,
dopo tanti anni ho pensato anche al futuro. Fra i miei collaboratori c'è il mio genero, my son-in-law, and un giovane cuoco, sì, che io ho preso come partner e che mi aiutano per il futuro.
I didn't know, and that's good.
With a masterpiece of editing, Peter just got rid of what appeared to be a non sequitur at the end of the interview.
Well, no, I think something got lost in the translation.
I think I lost in translation.
But
I have a feeling that we were talking to the chef about the thought that we were going to Osteria Francescana in Modena tomorrow, but I really can't remember. And
so we just deleted
that thought. Besides, you've already been to the Osteria Francescana anyway,
right?
It's curious. We really thought this place was excellent.
What, Francescana?
No, Bitone. The seafood, which is most of what we had for dinner, was really quite excellent. Somebody later on our trip, who shall be nameless, said that the Bolognese had turned their back a little bit on Bitone, and it wasn't clear why they did that. Apparently, the chef used to have one Michelin star, no longer does. That certainly doesn't have an effect on our rating, because we thought that
the crudo was wonderful.
We thought that the entire experience was really wonderful. Chef was a hero to conduct most of the interview with us in English, and he was entirely thoughtful throughout. And we would definitely put it on the list of places that we would recommend, and it's how we got there, because it was strongly recommended to us. It is outside the center of
it's very pretty also.
Of Bologna. It's a beautiful space. It was reconstructed lovingly
with a Formoso architect.
Yeah, and after a fire which had destroyed it, it almost destroyed the business. From our first-hand experience, this has got to be on your Bologna dining track. There's no question about that.
The big seafood platter, the raw stuff was great, the crudo.
And there will be more about Bologna in an upcoming program. Don't think we're done with this area by any means. And we hope, of course, that you'll join us same time, same place next week, so that you can catch more of it. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.